Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church on this first Sunday of Advent. We want to extend a very special welcome to those of you that are visiting with us this morning, and we hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us and that you'll come back to see us often. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we ask you to consider Main Street, and if you would please give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. That will give us an opportunity to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. At this time, we would like to congratulate our members of the Greenwood High School State Champions, Coach Shell Dula and players Mackenzie Thorpe, Sam Chappell, and Drake Anderson. Congratulations. At this time, if you would pass the attendance pads down the pew, and the visitors and members alike, please register your attendance. Reminder that immediately following our 11 o'clock service today will be the meal for our Honduras medical mission trip. There are still tickets available. If anyone would like to attend, tickets are $5, and you can get those right outside this door immediately following and then go straight on into the fellowship hall for that meal. The proceeds from that will all go to purchase medical supplies for that mission trip. Also, we invite all of you to attend our Hanging of the Green service this evening. The Hanging of the Green service starts at 6:30 with pre-service music beginning at 6 o'clock. So please make plans to attend that. Also, this Wednesday, we will have our normal gathering meal at 5:15. That will be smoked turkey and dressing catered by Carolina Barbecue. And we will have homemade desserts, a whole list of homemade desserts from various members of the church. It is very important that you make reservations for that. No reservations will be accepted after tomorrow because they'll have to smoke the turkeys, so they'll need to know how many turkeys to smoke. So you can make reservations by filling out one of the cards in the pew or by calling the church office tomorrow to let them know that you will be in attendance. Then following that, at 6:15 here in the sanctuary, will be our lights or light in the darkness service. That is a service for those who are experiencing grief or for some reason are just not in the spirit of Christmas. It is a very moving service, and we invite all of you to attend that. That's Wednesday at 6:15 following the gathering meal. Yes, Shell. Very good. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Would you please stand for the call to worship? See, the ruler of earth shall come, the Lord who will take us the heavy burden of our exile. Praise be to God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited and redeemed the people. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Seated. And join me in the invocation as is printed in your bulletin. Ever-present God, you taught us that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Grant that may we be found watching for the coming of your Son. Save us from undue love of the world, that we may wait with patient hope for the day of the Lord, and so abide in him that when he shall appear, we may not be ashamed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Yes. I'd like our Advent family to come forward now for the lighting of our first Advent candle to symbolize the light of Christ coming into the darkness of our world.
Thank you.
We thank you. We have several prayer concerns, some not in your bulletin, and I'd like to lift those up. We do need also to pray for the families who are grieving the loss of their loved ones, the family of Ann Wright, of Charles Bagwell, of Buddy Roberts, all who were buried in this past week. May God give them his comfort during these days. We have also to add to our list Steve Alexander's father, who's in the Lawrence Hospital. We continue to pray for Margaret Crooks, as she is going to be in the hospital until the birth of her child. Karen Dent, who had surgery on Thursday, is recovering. Ruby Miner, who had surgery on Friday and is recovering. Angie Blosser, also who had surgery this past week. And Becky Melton, who we found out is in the hospital today. My friend Bill Taylor, I ask you to pray for, who has lung cancer, had the surgery in Duke Hospital last week, is now at his mother-in-law's house in Greenville and awaiting the test results. That surgery went fine. We thank you for your prayers. And I believe there are other concerns are in the list we call to your attention. But before our prayer, we also have, you know, I heard the clapping for the state championship team. And that's a wonderful sporting event. And there is Shell. I have my without my glasses on, I can see about as far as where Shell's sitting. That's about it. But, you know, it's more than just a sporting event. The discipline, the teamwork, the perseverance, the earned self-esteem that they'll carry with them through their entire lives. Some folks say, oh, it's just high school football. But as I look back, I don't think there were any more formative events in my life than being on a high school football team and understanding about teamwork. So, Coach, we do. I know we've already applauded you and the team, but for the pride that comes to the community and for the self-esteem that the boys have earned and the knowledge of teamwork, it's a wonderful thing. We give thanks for that and for your work with them, for your example with them. And I was almost dared to say this, but Richard Pinckney, who is a very logical man and likes to do math, Richard told me that this, he has measured it precisely, is a representation of the average rushing attempt for Conway during the entire game. So I know it's not appropriate. It's not on the church liturgical calendar, but I could not resist. Thank you, Richard, and thank you, defense. Now let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, bless us as your children as we pray. As we begin this season of Advent, the season of waiting, of anticipating your future for this world and celebrating your coming to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope given us through the birth at Bethlehem, and we rejoice above all blessings in the gift of hope in all things. We take comfort in knowing that the future belongs to you, that our past are redeemed by Christ's merits and grace, and we thank you for the lasting gift of hope above all temporary blessings. Guide us in this holy season and give us the depth of spirit that we might experience anew the wonder and the marvel of the Creator God becoming flesh for our salvation. Save us from the emptiness of buying and planning and wrapping alone. Guide us to the deeper levels of faith and of knowledge of your presence with us. As you made yourself known in history, make yourself known in our souls. As you came into the world at the first advent, come into us. Father, spread your influence through the nations and the leaders of the nations of this world, we pray. Teach us compassion that fewer may suffer want. Teach us love and peace that we might make war less often. And help the light of your Son shine brighter and more frequently through those who claim to be your children, even imperfect beings such as us. We pray now for each other, for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for those who are ill in body or troubled in spirit, for those who are lonely and afraid, for those who feel empty and joyless, for those who feel betrayed and bitter, for those who need assurance of your forgiveness, and for those who need to forgive, for our families, our marriages, for ourselves, and for others, we lift up our private prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll ask the children to come forward for the children's time with Kit Adkins.
Hello, boys and girls. You can hear me now. Great. You all look beautiful and handsome. I just love looking at you. Today is the first day of Advent. Who knows what Advent is? What does that mean? Abby. Right. It's the beginning of the four Sundays before Christmas. We call it the Advent season. It's our journey to Christmas Day. And that's when we prepare our hearts, that's when we reflect on our lives, that's when we just look forward to the coming of Jesus. And we know that he came some 2,000 years ago as a wee babe. I've got some stars for you today, a star to take home, but when you think about the star in the Christmas story, what do you think about? What does that represent to you? Exactly. The shepherds saw stars and also the wise men, the three wise men. Do you remember that story? They followed the star and it brought them to Bethlehem. Well, when you think about the star, think of it as a symbol. It's a symbol of guidance. Just like the star guided the wise men to Bethlehem, to the stable. Think about how people in your lives guide you, your parents, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, your pastor, your church school teachers, just how they can help guide you toward a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will have a wonderful Christmas season, not just thinking about what you're going to receive from Santa Claus, but what you can give this season. And God wants you to give your all to him. Remember, he's your guide. The Bible has wonderful stories in it. Ask your parents to read to you often. Or I know that those of you who read are already reading Bible stories. But just know that God loves you and he will guide you. And as you leave, I'm going to give you a star. You can put it on your tree, put it in your room. But remember that it's a symbol of God's guidance and his love. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for coming into the world. We thank you for this church. We thank you for guiding us. We want to love you and know you more deeply during this Advent season. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Here you go. Here's your...
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for giving us enough to meet our every need and to give to every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 25. In your pew Bibles, it's on page 104. Hear now God's word. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, as I've already told the 8:28 service, I do, when I have a serious topic to preach, I try to begin with a little bit of humor. It doesn't always work, and I do run that humor by Caroline, and she usually says, no, it's not funny, don't do it, and I usually use it anyway. And I did this morning, and I will again. I think it is a little bit funny, and it does get us on to the topic. A little girl finished her homework one night, and she was upset that her daddy was still at his desk in the den, and she asked her mother, "Mommy, why does daddy bring so much work home at night?" And the mother said, "Because he just doesn't have time to finish it at work." And the little girl was thinking of school, and she said, "Well, why don't they put him in a slower group?" Where is Caroline? See, it is. It is. Now, to swap gears, but to kind of dovetail into that, I'll tell you who the slow group is. Those who think they can do whatever they want and catch up later. Those who think there will always be enough time to fix things in the family, to fix things with your spouse, to fix things with old friends, and to fix things with God. Advent says we don't know how much time we have. We don't know how much time the world has. Make good use of your time. Advent as a season reminds us that God came unexpectedly at Bethlehem, and God will come again unexpectedly. Be found ready. Be found using and redeeming the time. Have a life worthwhile, a faith worthwhile. Work on the questions. Work on the doubts. Work through the bitterness and despair and get to the other side so that when you meet God, you can hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Advent urges us to get ready for God's victory over the forces of chaos and death and decay. Someone has said that this speaks of, this apocalyptic word speaks of time collapsing. The time of the end becomes the end of time. And it's a scary, scary reading. And once upon a time, people took it more seriously. They believed that the end of the world was imminent and that Jesus would return and that it would be soon. And that is what we heard in this apocalyptic reading from Luke. The idea is also engraved, you may be surprised to know, you can look this up in the dome of the U.S. Capitol building in Washington. It's engraved, "One far off divine event toward which all creation moves." Speaking of the return of Christ and the final judgment. But for now, we mostly have stopped thinking much about the return of Christ or of judgment or any far-off events at all. We've stopped thinking much beyond today for the most part. I spoke to a good friend of mine who's in his first year teaching high school. He had been teaching tech and moved over to high school. And he found out that if you're the first-year teacher, you get the least desirable classes. It kind of works that way. So he was complaining about the undisciplined and disrespectful students, and I tried to be helpful, and I said, well, to be future-oriented, I said, well, when does your summer vacation start? And he said, summer? Summer? I can't think that far ahead. I'm just trying to make it through today. Many of us are just trying to make it through the day. And our culture has built a worldview about the future and about how things ought to be, not based upon God, but based upon technology and science and education and the promise that all these things, when evenly distributed and properly done and perfected, that everything will be well and peace and prosperity will break out in the entire world. We have this worldview of things and technology and science and education, and we think that the world won't end, that we'll continue to become better and better and better all by ourselves and not needing God anymore, that the world will not end and America will always be, and that every time I pick up the phone there will be a dial tone, and every time I flip the switch on the wall there will be light, and nothing is ever going to be changed. Don't be silly. There's a modern proverb I want to share. There was once a spider who lived in a cornfield. He was a big spider, and he had spun a beautiful web between the corn stalks. He liked his home, and he planned to stay there the rest of his life. One day, the spider caught a little bug in his web, and just as the spider was about to eat the bug said, "Hey, if you let me go, I'll tell you something important that may save your life." The spider paused for a moment and listened. He was amused. And the bug said, "You better get out of this cornfield because the harvest is coming." The spider smiled and said, "What is this harvest you're talking about? I think you're just telling me a story." The bug said, "Oh no, it's true. The owner of this field is coming to harvest it soon, and all the stalks will be knocked down and the corn will be gathered up, and you'll be killed by a giant machine if you stay." The spider said, "I don't believe in harvest and giant machines that knock down corn stalks. How can you prove this?" The little bug pointed out and said, "Just look at the corn. Do you see how it's planted in rows? That is proof that there is an owner." The spider laughed. He said, "Corn always grows that way." The bug went on to explain, "Oh no, this field belongs to the owner who planted it, and the harvest is coming soon." The spider grinned and said to the little bug, "I don't believe you." And then the spider ate the little bug for lunch. A few days later, the spider was thinking to himself and laughing out loud about what the bug had told him. He said, "A harvest. What a silly idea.
I've lived my whole life here and nothing has ever disturbed me. I've been here since the stalks were just 1 foot off the ground. And I'll be here forever because nothing is ever going to change in this field. Life is good and I have it made. The next day was a beautiful sunny day in the cornfield and the sky was clear and there was no wind at all. And that afternoon the spider was just about to take a nap and he noticed some thick, dusty clouds moving his way. And he could hear the roar of a great engine, and he said to himself, I wonder what that could be. Even when houses are being blown down next to us, we, like the three little pigs, say, I shall build a bigger, stronger house than theirs. I shall build a bigger, stronger house than theirs. Nothing like that will ever happen to me. I'm afraid our worldview is made of straw. It isn't very substantial, and it's prone to catch fire at any moment. A friend of mine in Charleston, I always get a little choked up when I tell this because it's absolutely true. He served on a nuclear submarine. He was trained to survive and strike back in case of a first nuclear strike. And he thought a little each day about nuclear war, the constant threat, the retaliation. And one night, as Andy was on shore and he was crossing the Cooper River Bridge, high up where you can see the whole city of Charleston, he said that he saw all the lights go out at once. The whole city just went black. And he told me later that his heart sank and he thought he knew what it was. He prayed and waited for the flash and waited for the explosion. Now, Andy was wrong that time. But he spent his entire career in the Navy getting ready for that sort of moment. Not as a fearmonger, but as a pastor, I think from time to time I must ask you, are you ready to meet God? When you go up and down your checklist of faith, is love turned on? Is faith turned on? Good works flowing from your faith turned on? Humility on? Self-control on? Truthfulness on? Bitterness turned off, grudges, judgment, arrogance, haughtiness disabled, forgiveness fully operational from God to you, to others who have sinned against you. If so, then you're ready. And every age and every individual life, the door is closing and has been closing since the day you were born. Be sure. Be very sure that what you value most and spend your life upon most as a foundation is God. In the end, it just isn't possible to build a house strong enough to save us or save ourselves from disaster, from disease, or from death. And no matter the nation, no matter the political system, the time or the era, or the amount of money, or the steel-reinforced retirement plans we have, nothing we can do ever lasts forever. But something does. But something does last forever. It isn't ours and it isn't from our efforts. It is God. God who was before all things. God who will be after all things. God whose word was made flesh in Jesus Christ will not pass away even when the earth is no more. Advent is meant to be a message of hope. And of also confronting the reality of our hubris, of our arrogance, of our trifling input to the final outcome. God comes and everything we thought we owned, our trusted for our safety, where is it? We are dust, says Genesis, and all that we trust is made of dust except God. So be on guard, says Luke 21:34, that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, that that day catch you unexpectedly. Even if the stars are falling out of the sky, yet will I trust God. Disappointment, disaster, disease, even death do not have the final word. God does. In the beginning, God. In the end, God. After the end, God. Amen. I ask you to join me on page 12.
for the order of communion. And I'll ask those who are going to be assisting me this morning, Dr. Ted Morton and Greg and Cindy Dominic, to please come forward. Cindy, if you'll come on this side, and Greg, if you'll go over on that side. Greg and Cindy are going to be moving completely out of our community soon.
We don't know when. We're still trying to sell a house. So.
When they sell their house. That was not an interruption of the worship service for an advertisement, but we are going to say goodbye to them and honor them. I hope they feel it's an honor to help serve communion today. If you'll please turn to page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church, and we have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us pass the peace. Okay. I'll let you have just a little bit of that. Don't get too much. It takes a while to dry. Y'all might want to swap places because Ted is going to do the bread and you'll do the wine.
I sure will.
Okay.
Is there a backup cup in case?
Yes. There. That's too much. It will smell like real wine.
Yeah.
Please join me at the Great Thanksgiving on page 13. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Body of Christ. The blood of Christ was shed for you, if you'll serve Him. Okay. The body of Christ was broken for you. The blood of Christ was shed for you. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ was shed for you. We will commune by intinction today. If you'll have two lines after we serve the choir, if you'll have two lines, and if you wish, you may go off to the side and kneel where there is space. But we'll have, by intinction, two lines coming this way, serving and going back to your seat, serving and going back to your seat. Thank you. We will close our service by singing together hymn number 211, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Please stand. Because we do have the missions lunch in the fellowship hall immediately after the service, we're going to have a benediction and a blessing so you can go straight through and eat. And even if you've not bought a ticket, I understand they have enough food for others who might want to decide to come right now. So let's have our blessing and benediction. Lord, bless our worship the rest of this day, our Hanging of the Green service tonight, and our fellowship as we share a meal together for the sake of missions. Bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies. Bless us with the full knowledge of the love that you've given us, of the grace and forgiveness which we have, and of your presence even in this moment, to guide us, give us courage, and to lead us to grow. Lord, you have blessed us. Help us be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.